I'd like to call this meeting to order. It's 2 minutes after 5 o'clock, July 19th, 2011. I'd like to ask if any of the board, member boards have any conflicts of interest. Mr. Jones?
None.
Mr. Heine?
None.
Myself, Mr. Fino, none. Mr. McCarter?
None.
Ms. Rowe?
No.
Okay, there are no conflicts of interest. I will now do roll call. Ms. Candy Rowe?
Present.
Mr. McCarter?
Present.
Mr. Tim Heine?
Present.
Mr. Rebel Jones?
Present.
And myself, Robert Fino, is present. I will now lead the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
On the consent agenda under item number 4, I have two approvals. The minutes from June 7th, 2011, and the minutes from June 28th, 2011. Any comments from the board?
Mr. Chairman, I was not present for the June 7th meeting, so I wish to abstain from it.
Okay, you weren't present for which one?
June 7th.
June 7th, okay. So Mr. Jones will abstain from voting, approving the minutes of June 7th. Any other comments from the board?
I'll make a motion that we accept the minutes as shown.
Mr. Heine has made a motion to accept the minutes as
presented.
For June 7th and June 28th?
Yes.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay, it has been seconded by Mrs. Rowe. Will not, any discussion? We'll now take a vote on that. All those in favor of approving the minutes from June 7th and June, well, we'll start with June 7th since we have a one person will abstain. All those approving the minutes from June 7th with a show of hands show that four board members did vote in favor of that. All those in favor of approving the minutes for June 28th, 2011, a show of hands show all five board members did approve that motion. Moving on to agenda item number 6, call to the public. Is there any public? There is none. Moving on to reports. Since the chief wasn't here, Ms. Tucker added an addendum for the reports. I'm not sure exactly what, Paul, let me ask you if you don't mind, did the chief give you any reports to
Has not given anything to me. I don't know if he's
going to. Oh, Mr. Captain Waters, I'm sorry.
I went ahead and took down the fire and EMS reports, and I made them easy at this time.
Okay.
As of June 7th, we have.
Oh, okay. So you'll be ready then. Okay.
Exactly. You are, sir.
Yes, thank you. One more minute while I check the copy machines. That machine, that copy machine, Paul spit out a bunch of these for some reason. I added paper to it and just spit a bunch of.
Yeah, those are. There's more of those.
Oh yeah.
The one that says 24,000.
Yes.
I don't know.
Second page, I think.
Yeah. Okay. How many do you need?
One for myself, please, and one for Mrs.
Okay, so this will be the treasurer's financial report?
No,
okay.
It's a little confusing at first, but this is our year-end report from the county.
Oh, I see, okay.
So we'll go through it step by step. I don't have all the exact numbers of where we're at with our ambulance billing. All of that will be a separate report that I'll get to you guys as soon as I have it. So you can see at the top our balance beginning of July was $112,718.91. Does everyone see, follow me?
That was July of 10?
That was June 1st of this. This was just last year, this last month.
Okay.
June.
June 1st through the 30th, correct?
Yes, yes, sir. You'll see that on there as well. And then after we paid all of our warrants, you can see that it was our ending balance was $76,301.74. If you drop down to, let's see, right under opening balance, about mid-page, you'll see real tax. We collected $12,825.23 in that month of real property tax. Right underneath that, $152.41 was collected from personal property taxes. We paid out $80,762.86 in warrants. So I mean, that's our bills, our payroll, all of that, and you have to take into consideration that it's about 30,000 more a month, maybe 20,000 more a month than we usually spend. We spend a lot in payroll for these wildfires and our fuel, and we haven't yet recouped that, but we will. Make a note of that, because the state, federal fires take a little while to get our money, but they've all been billed, and so we're just waiting on. If you go down to treasurer's checks, does everybody see that? Down the bottom of the page. Mm-hmm. We deposited $35,956.12. So you can see we deposited that. We spent 80, so we spent $44,806.74 more that month than we collected. Journal entries are electronic payments, interest, bearing on the account. Yes?
Can I ask what the $22,978.48 is? At the bottom in the opening balance account?
Underneath paid
accounts. You know?
That's the remainder, isn't it?
That's the remainder until you get
yes.
the $35,000.
Yes, yes. Sorry, I don't
and
have a
journal
calculator.
Entries.
I grabbed
no,
these.
I don't think so.
No?
Nope.
Let's put an asterisk next to that, and I will figure that out.
112 minus 80 is 22,000.
124, 125,
the 12,000. The 12,000 doesn't get added. That's just showing real tax.
Right, that's just...
Okay.
That is not an additive.
Okay.
The 112 and the minus 80 is... 22.
Okay.
Sorry,
got that.
I don't have a calculator with me at this moment. Is that,
okay.
You feel better? You understand? That's okay.
I do.
Okay.
I'll have more
you
questions.
You may not feel better, but.
No.
Well.
You have to admit, this is just 1 month. This is not where we're at for the year. This is just June.
Actually,
I do. Yeah, because it should be around 40,000.
Right.
That's
usually
that,
what we spend.
That being.
No. But
that being the case, where does the $12,825.23 and the $152.41 get added?
Well, it'll be added
in total receipts.
Right. You'll see as we keep going.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Because
so.
Let me add this. I see 12,000. I mean 11, 12, 80, 20, 30. That's 32,000, and you have 22,000. 978.48.
What? Can we finish the page
that
first?
That number minus that number is that number.
It isn't.
It isn't.
No. Now, if it was 100,000, it'd be close.
Yeah, it's not that. It's not. 112 minus 80 is 42.
Yes, I'm getting it right.
Okay, because it might. Is it 44,806? Can I just ask a question? Can we finish the page before
sure,
we
sure.
add it up? Because we might have our answer right here.
Okay.
Okay, so let's just go down to receipts. Total receipts, $35,956.12. Total disbursements, what we spent, $80,762.86. That gives our activity of, like I said, we spent $44,000 more than we deposited. That's right there with the negative. That doesn't mean our account is negative. That just meant for the month. Now, journal entries, like I said, $8,389.57. You take $8,000 from the $44,000, that takes that negative to $36,000 because they added in our interest and other miscellaneous.
That correct?
That left our closing balance at $76,301.74. So that is our M&O account. The second page is going to be our reserve account. So let's go back to the M&O and let's go over the numbers and see where.
Okay. Going back and just doing the simple subtraction.
Sure. Do you guys want the calculator?
No, I already did that. 31,956.05 is the from the opening balance down to the bottom is what it should read if that's minus 80. In other words, 12,718.91 minus 80,762.86 comes out to 31,956.05. Which has nothing to do with the 12,000 or the 152. So I'm just kind of curious about that particular value.
I'll ask them. I'm not real sure why that number is there.
Well, like, they don't these three add
they always
up
add
to
up,
be that.
So I don't know.
That, and that. This real tax, a personal tax, and the 22,978.48, doesn't that add to be up?
Does that equal 35?
Yes.
35,956.12.
Right.
So that's your total receipts. Your total disbursements is already set up there.
Mm-hmm. So this,
they're showing that. And it, you know, they've got a way more higher system than we have.
Yeah,
I try and break it down.
So they just punch it in, and the bottom line comes out right.
Right. Yeah, it does. It does add up.
It always has. I've always triple checked it. It
does. Okay. Okay. Then yeah, it does add up.
It's always come up right.
Okay.
So, and like I said, that's the end of the fiscal year. That
so
was
my question
last.
Is, yes. Where were we last year at this time? Can we
sure
see?
I have that right here.
Just since this is my first year in July of being here.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. You know, I don't have that as that far back in here. But I could get that to you first thing tomorrow.
Well, I just like to see where we're.
Right.
Are we the same or worse or better? Or?
We're not as much.
Last year it seemed like we had a little higher of a carry forward.
But we probably have more money coming in from the fire.
Yes.
Okay.
A little bit more.
All right.
Because we just went over, I believe we just went over 80,000. So.
Yeah, we did that much last year.
When you're.
I could do the math on it.
Yeah, I thought last year and the year before was awful lean.
Yeah, about 50.
Yeah, I could be wrong, but I thought we were awful lean the last 2 years, and this year it's back up to where they unseasonably high.
I believe that the horseshoe fire last year, we
second
were closer to
the exact, just a second.
But
I think this year
are you talking two different things here now?
Yeah,
carrying
talking,
forward or?
Right, he's talking that what we made last year in one line versus this year. If we made more last year, I just don't have that far back. I'm so sorry. I just don't have it that far back.
I know we made more wild lines this year. That's for sure. Okay.
I know in 2009, we budgeted our wild land revenue.
We budgeted low and then we budgeted higher this year because
yes.
We made more than we thought we
yes.
were.
Yes.
As we were going along, we didn't think we were going to make as much, and all of a sudden, somebody started being careless.
Yes. You are advantaged, I guess. Okay. Are you okay? Ready to move on to the reserve account?
And any questions on the.
Mr. Heine, I will get that information over to you right away.
Okay.
You'll have a large, I don't know if you guys remember, but we were talking mid-August, I would be able to have all the figures, end of the year, all the monies that were deposited and collected. So I just don't have those at this time.
Yes, if you could email that to all the board members, I'd appreciate that, Lori. Thank you.
And send yours in the mail, correct?
Well, I do have an email if you want to email it to my account, too. That would work.
All right. Okay, so page two, reserve account. Opening balance, $24,160.46. Closing balance was $24,217.09. We collected, I believe, $115.63 in interest. Yes. That's what the journal entry is at the bottom of the page. That's pretty cut and dry there. So, I know we've been talking about a plan to replenish the monies from the ambulances and the communications. So, but that's what's in there to date, unless we collect a little interest since June 30th. I do, am I allowed to talk about anything treasure related? Whether it be pension or...
If it's all financial, yes.
We do have a check made out to the firefighters' pension, relief and pension account, $3,145.90, which will need to be deposited into that Edward Jones account. So that'll be done this week. I have $4,770.97 in ambulance bills, fire subscriptions, a couple donation checks, so that's going to be deposited into our M&O account this week as well. Other than that, the subscriptions are going really well. I put an ad in the paper. I took it upon myself to put an ad in the paper, and we've had a great response to that. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah, this is a good year though.
Yeah. Nothing like people being worried, you know. I hate to say it that way, but. Yes. And it cost us $250 to post our budget. And then I ran the subscription ads 2 weeks in a row, which was $19.70, I believe. It's in the checks.
Yes, it is.
Per week. And so I feel like the subscriptions have definitely paid for that in a big way. We're gonna go over, I think, what we had budgeted for this year. I really do. Any questions on this? Can I go to my extra discussions on the?
Well, we have topics to discuss on the treasurer's report. On item number two, discuss the budget for the fiscal year and the possibility of amending it due to possible error found by Lori Tucker on 7/18/11.
Yes, I was putting in the new budget Monday morning when I got back, and into QuickBooks. And the way the QuickBooks is set up is it takes our budget, you put in the annual amount that we've budgeted, say, small tools and equipment, we budgeted $3,500. It takes that $3,500 and it breaks it down per month. So I kept plugging in the numbers and it wasn't adding up to our bottom line. I went over it three or four times. I had a couple of guys to help me go over it. We did not add in Medic 301's annual payment into that bottom line. So we are $9,400 different.
$9,400?
Oh, in the budget? The budget didn't reflect the $9,400?
It's on there. It didn't add it into the bottom line of the total.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know.
And what was that for?
Medic 301, the annual payment is $9,000. I think we budgeted $9,500. Last year it was $9,416. It might have gone up with interest, I'm not sure. But we budgeted $9,500 just to be safe. For my calculations, and I don't know if you guys have a copy of the budget with you, I do not think that it was added in. Now, it's an easy fix. All we need to do is amend amend it, and then post it.
Yeah, because it's written right here.
It is at the bottom, but I do not believe if you add it in, it's not added into that 1.2. Okay. So, yeah, I know. I couldn't believe it. The county did.
Have you told the county?
I have not, because I just found it yesterday.
Okay. You'll check with the county first, of course.
Sure, that's then, okay.
Yes, check with the county first on that. Make sure those figures mesh and that they agree with that. That's where the error is. And then just let them know what you're planning on doing before they tell you to do it. And then, it's easy. Yeah, just an amendment.
It's just an amendment. Posting it in the paper. Again, I don't think we have to do the whole big blown out thing. I just think we have to put a notice, post the budget with the new figure, and we're safe. I believe. But I will check tomorrow morning first thing. So that's that.
Okay, item number three, you have discussed the Sunside Pierce Fire Department's administration non-operational personnel SOPs versus the operational personnel SOPs. It says who's who or clarification of who's who for payroll and benefit reasons. Again, this is part of your financial?
Yes.
This is financial?
Yes, because it has to do with benefits and payroll.
Okay, go ahead.
If you look, and I'm going to bring up holiday pay because it's specific right now to what kind of we're dealing with. We don't really have anything with clarification of who's operational and who's non-operational. I am non-operational. I'm admin. I'm 8 to 4:30, whatever my hours are going to be set at. I'm not sure if chief is operational or non-operational. The firefighters, they are 24-hour shifts. They're operational. When you read through our SOPs, at times it'll say.
What section of the SOP are you at?
305.3, and I'll pass this around as well.
305.3
under holiday pay. And this is a benefit, that's why I'm bringing it up. It talks about the purpose, of course, is to provide a benefit for holidays. The scope of it reads, this policy applies to full-time employees and part-time employees who work the holiday. On the following traditional holidays, and it lists them, which holidays we observe, under guidelines, A, it says district paid holidays, which following Saturday will be observed on the preceding Friday. District paid holidays, which following Sunday will be observed on Monday. You go to B, full-time administrative employees shall receive 8 hours of holiday pay in lieu of working, which means 4th of July is on a Monday, I get 8 hours whether or not I'm here or not.
You get the day off.
Yes. But
with
I still
pay.
Get paid.
You get the 8 hours
yes,
holiday pay.
That's what
it's saying.
You go down to C, full-time personnel shall receive holiday pay equivalent to half their normal shift. Example, operation personnel shall receive 12 hours of holiday pay based upon the normal shift of 24 hours. Now, let me read that again. Full-time personnel shall receive holiday pay equivalent to half of their normal shift hours. Example, operation personnel shall receive 12 hours of holiday pay based upon the normal shift of 24 hours. Holidays shall be paid regardless of work status on that day. Now, can I ask the board how you would interpret letter C under guidelines?
So let's get another example. Say a firefighter comes in for a 24-hour shift on that Monday, or is scheduled. No.
Operation, it doesn't matter if they come in, if it's on a Saturday. If they come in on a...
Thank you.
It's observed for operations on that day for operations. But administration should be observed on Monday or Friday, depending if it's on a Saturday or a Sunday.
Who is administration? Is it just myself? Is chief administration operational? I really just need some clarification on some of these SOPs, because you can interpret this many ways. You can interpret it that if I come to work, or one of our firefighters comes to work, his shift starts at 8 in the morning, he or she, 8 in the morning, and they work till midnight on Monday, and then they work from midnight till 8 that next morning, half of the shift is 12 hours, the other half is 8 hours. And yes, that equals to 24 hours, or I'm sorry, 16 and 8, sorry. That equals to 24 hours, but are we paying hours worked, or are we paying half of the 24-hour shift? Because there's, it doesn't say in this guidance.
It's extremely vague. It can be perceived either way, and this is where we're running into the trouble. People are saying, no, you get paid 12 hours, just like it says, and they're reading it literally. It says 12 hours, I get paid 12 hours if I've worked that day.
If you've worked that day.
12 hours, you get half of your shift.
Half of your shift, at normal scheduled shift time.
Mr. Yes, McCarter?
Yes, sir.
Bill?
Sorry.
Holiday pay shall be paid regardless of work status on that day.
Now status is another one. What does status mean? This is so open-ended that we are having major trouble.
Status being... do I read that to mean if you're working on that day, you still get 12 hours added to?
Or if I'm not physically in the office, I still get paid, because that is one way to say it. Or is it saying no matter if you work that day, everyone gets holiday pay? I mean,
it says no matter the status. So if you're not working that day, I perceive status as full-time, part-time. But other people receive status as working, not working. It's not clarified in there. It's left open to interpretation, and unfortunately, we're having trouble because of that.
Okay, let me ask Laurie, what's been happening up to now?
Well, up till now, depending on hours, it was hours worked. If you were here and you worked 16 hours on that given holiday, you will pay double time for that time. We changed that. We decided, you know what, that's a little excessive. Time and a half is more on track with everybody else. That guideline was set when Steve was internship. So we changed that, but it was not a half of a 24-hour shift. It was the hours worked. If you worked 8 hours on that holiday, from midnight till 8 in the morning, you received 8 hours. If you, holiday pay on top of your normal, your 24-hour shift.
To answer your question, this is the first time it's come up.
Yes.
This is the first time it's come up.
Why has it come up?
Why? Because I was reading it and I don't like the way it reads. It's hard to say this is cut and dry. This is the rule.
Bill?
This is not.
The way I understand it, some of our SOPs, most of our SOPs, a lot of our SOPs, we got these through a shared SOP situation. And whose shared SOPs?
It's a combination of Sierra Vistas, Drexel Heights, and Sedona Fire.
So has anyone contacted those folks and asked them how they interpret this?
Issue? We haven't really called them, but I can actually tell you how Drexel Heights does it. It's time and a half for hours worked.
Hours worked.
I'm not sure how Sierra Vista does it. Sedona Fire also does it at time and a half of time that hours worked.
Time and a half for hours worked.
Correct.
So
say 4th of July. Technically, the holiday started midnight on Monday, started the 4th. So from midnight to 8 in the morning would be 8 hours of holiday pay for the shift coming off, and then for the shift coming on from 8 to midnight would be 16 hours of holiday.
Correct. Because we don't start our days at midnight. We start our days at 8 o'clock. So there's 8 hours in there.
So you only get paid for the holiday if you work it.
Correct. That's the way we've done it in the past. Yeah. The problem with we're running into now is we didn't have these SOPs on the last holiday. These were the current SOPs that the board adopted just a few months ago.
How did we do it before?
It was hours worked. And you got double pay.
That was
if
excessive.
If you work 8 hours, you got 16 hours at your regular pay rate. we decided, you know what, that's a little much. Not, nobody really does that. Time and a half is more than normal. So I have to say, these SOPs weren't just the name changed, you know.
We need to be, all that needs to happen is just need to clarify it a little
right.
better.
Right, just need to rewrite it.
Needs to be sat down and said, this is what it actually means. Because it doesn't say that. Mm-hmm. We all agree that it's hours worked when no one's looking to get paid for extra money, but it needs to say that to stop any people from going in and being able to go to like the labor board or something and bring our own SOPs and say, I don't care what they said, this is what their own SOPs say. If and so that makes me entitled to it.
If I worked 8 hours and got 12 hours of holiday pay, and Chris worked 6 hours and only got 12 hours, or 16 hours and only received 12 hours of holiday pay, I don't really see the justice in that. It should be hours
well,
worked.
In a way, I do. In a way, I do, because it says that every employee shall get these holidays. So that, to me, tells me that this means regardless of work or not work status. So what they're saying is, on 4th of July, irregardless of whether you're working or whether you're not, you get 12 hours of pay.
It should not be that way. That is not, that's would cost.
Well, that's what this says.
No, that's why,
exactly
that's why I want to change it. That's why I want to change it.
That,
is
that would cost, that would cost the district more money, you say, if
oh,
we
yes,
paid?
Tons of money. If I paid everybody 12 hours of holiday.
No, not everybody, just those working.
No,
that's not right.
Everybody.
They don't think about that. Whoa. Yeah. Think about that a second, guys.
Exactly.
Okay.
But no, think about this a second. Y'all need to think about this. We tell everybody, what are our holidays?
We have New Year's Day, Memorial Day, Independence Day, Labor Day, Thanksgiving Day, day after Thanksgiving, Christmas Day, day after Christmas, and President's Day.
Okay, so everybody should get paid for every one of those days. And if they're working, they should get paid for working also. That's the way it should be.
Isn't that standard? That's,
no.
That's not the way it's
should
because,
be.
Because the ships are, if a ship doesn't land on 4th of July this year, most likely they're going to land on 4th of July next year. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Each ship, it all rotates each year. Some years you get a little more holidays, some years you don't. Whatever the board decides is fine with me. I'm just uncomfortable with not being able to have it clear cut.
I may rue the day that I said this, but I have to go back again. If you give a person a holiday, they should get a holiday. They should get paid for that holiday, irregardless of whether they're working it or whether they're not. If they're working it, they should definitely get paid again.
Well, if they're working it, then they don't get the holiday plus. Well, let me ask this question. What is the definition of holiday pay? Is that time and a half?
Time and a half.
Okay.
But
so
right now it's not. It's not even in here. It's time and a half. It's not even
no. But this clarifies that.
Oh.
I can't find them.
That's it does because the way again it goes back to interpretation. I understand what you're saying and I agree. When it says example, it's showing you how to come up with time and a half, but it never actually says that.
No, it doesn't say time and a half.
It doesn't. It never says time and a half anywhere, and this is a problem.
Okay, this is what, I'll tell you what needs to be done.
Okay.
Good.
Please.
Full-time personnel shall receive holiday pay equivalent to half of their normal shift hours. Example, operations personnel shall receive 12 hours pay, not holiday, not time and a half, shall receive 12 hours pay based upon the normal shift of 24 hours. Holiday pay shall be paid regardless of work status on that day. And it makes sense. I understand you all think you're making more money, and we don't want to spend any more money, and God knows I'm probably one of the very worst. But every person has to be paid for every holiday that's on there, irregardless of whether they're working or not, because it's a holiday and it's a paid holiday. So they should be paid on every one of those holidays. Now, if we don't want to pay 12 hours, we don't want to pay 12 and a half, we don't want to pay whatever, every person that works here gets paid on every one of those holidays.
How many hours?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
When
if we don't want to pay them
this?
12, that's fine, whatever. But every person gets paid for every hour.
I think right before you came in, Tim.
But, and then if they're on shift, it's against the law not to pay them. If we have an SOP that says they get time and a half. I mean, if we just pay everybody, then there's no incentive to work on a holiday. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't think. Okay, if they're on shift, then we should have a policy that pays a person that works on a holiday more money.
Okay.
But they should also get the holiday pay.
Okay. Now, operation versus non-operation. Can we clarify? Admin gets a certain amount, operational gets a certain amount, and who is who? Because when I write a distinction. Well.
Because admin only works 8 hours a day, and the others are on 12-hour shifts.
I don't know if chief is admin. I don't know if chief is admin or
well, chief's on. She's on a salary.
But he has holiday pay.
If I'd like to interject, if I
go ahead, Tim.
Well, first of all, the guidelines for this, as far as I'm concerned, I've been in business for myself for over 30 years. I've had numerous employees. They've all been hourly employees. I've never had any other than hourly employees. And the only time I would ever pay extra is if they work that day. I don't feel, and I think that some of the firefighters feel the same way. They want to get paid more if they're working, but I don't think that they should get, I don't think that we can afford as a small district to pay all these holidays. That's
and
just, to me, I can't see that. I can't, we can't pay every firefighter. We can't pay every employee all these paid holidays.
We're not,
you know, it's like a school teacher has a contract, so they get paid holidays. A fire chief has a contract, he gets paid holidays. The administrator has a contract, she gets paid holidays.
No, sir, I'm out.
Well,
oh, sorry.
Okay. But I'm just saying, if people have contracts, they get paid holidays. I think that this might have been an oversight in adopting this instead of going item by item, instead of just adopting the whole thing, because I think it's a total oversight.
Thank you.
Just, right. That's my opinion.
That's why I'm bringing it to your attention, because I reference to these when I do payroll a lot, you know. Clear cut, you know, somebody brings me their time card and then says, you know, I get whatever it is, holiday pay or PTO. I go to this and say, no, this is the rule. This is the guideline. This is what we follow. And when I don't have a clear...
But again, that's just my opinion. But that's based on being an employer for over 35 years. And hourly employees do not get paid holidays normally unless they're working. And they get time and a half or double time, you know, dependent.
Mr. Jones, you were commenting earlier. Do you have anything else to add on this?
Yeah, it does need clarification. Is this going to apply just to the full-timers? Will it apply to the full-time and part-timers? Do we want to keep it at 12 hours? Do we want to just say all the full-timers get 8 hours of holiday pay, whether or not they work today or not? Do we want to even keep the holidays? I know a lot of the bigger departments would hit with the economic situations. They completely take away holiday pay. There's a lot to look at with this.
Now, let me ask a question. Why do we have holidays listed? Are they just to show that the station is not operational on that day?
No, it's to show what holidays we observe, and if you work, you are getting paid extra.
So, beforehand, if you did not work, you did not get any payment for that holiday.
Right.
So that does differ from the normal work sector.
Right. And it's
in
that
way capacity.
Comment on Mr. Jones is thinking about taking holidays away. You're going to run into, and I guarantee this,
Your entire family's out going on a picnic. It's 4th of July. I have PTO time. I'm not going to get paid for that holiday. I'm taking it off and you're going to pay me anyways.
I didn't say it was a good thing.
No, I know. I'm just saying we have to take those things into consideration because we are forcing them. We are forcing them to work those shifts. They can't. It's not a 9-to-5 job. It's 24 hours. So I think holiday pay should be part of the benefits because it always has been. I'm not so sure how we want to word this.
Holiday pay for those who work should
right.
be a maintained
yes.
benefit.
Yes.
Okay, well, we're not going to be able to change anything,
but
we're going to put this down on the agenda item. I'm not
and
sure.
Also, can we go one more?
Oh, yeah.
Go down to D. Employees must work or be on scheduled paid leave, PTO, the last scheduled work day before the holiday and the first scheduled work day after the holiday. So what it's reading is that I can take vacation, and as long as I take vacation the day before the holiday and the day after the holiday, I get paid for it. You shouldn't read that.
You can't call in sick the day before and have a long weekend.
Right. You can't take 4 days off and get paid time and a half for that holiday, plus your PTO time. So that should read, and I did a little homework on it. Most fire departments say that you need to either be on shift the shift before the holiday or the shift after to receive that holiday pay. So would you please look into that one as well?
Does that not also clarify C?
No.
Somewhat?
It does not clarify it at all. All it okay. says is employees must work or be on scheduled paid leave. So must work, yes, kind of, because that tells me that I'm physically working. But on the other hand, it says or be on paid leave. The shift before and the shift after, not. You have to be on paid leave both shifts before and after the recent holiday pay. That's just an incentive to take more time off work. I don't understand how someone could get paid for vacation.
I think you're interpreting that wrong. What it's saying is, if you didn't work just before the holiday, you're not getting paid for it.
No, it says,
but that's not the way it reads.
Not the way it reads. Read it out loud to me.
Employees must work or be on scheduled paid leave the last scheduled work day before the holiday. On scheduled paid leave. What is scheduled paid leave?
PTO vacation.
Approved vacation.
So if I turn in my vacation, I'm leaving on Tuesday. That's saying that I have to take off Monday and Wednesday to get paid for that holiday. That's how I read that.
Well, that should be struck out.
Yes, sir. I believe so.
It should say employees must work.
Yes.
Exactly. That's what we want. We need to clarify it a little better. Because the way it reads is all I have to do is just take the day before and the day after off, and then I'm golden.
And you're not even here.
You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to be able to do that.
You're supposed to keep people from doing that.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
Okay, so...
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Could I ask somebody one more time what departments share this?
Sedona, Sierra Vista, and Drexel Heights. The majority of our SOPs were taken from Drexel Heights.
Yes. And there was some things changed. I kind of got a little mixed up. Chief did the admin and I did the fire suppression SOP. So I don't know how we got switched around there, but we did.
Okay.
I have one question. Why is the day after Thanksgiving on here and the day after Christmas on here? Why are those?
Most people would like to have those days. That's still, even though it's not specifically a holiday, the morning after Christmas is usually, for a lot of people, is considered a holiday.
Can we amend those?
Yes, we actually cut it. There was 4 other holidays on this list. There, I believe there was 11 at one time.
Now, this holiday list came with our SOPs?
Yes, those ones that were approved in 2009.
Okay, so
We cut some.
But we had some holidays previous to that.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying. There was more
than
this.
Same?
Yes, we cut some out of that list of 2009 because there were so many, it was not necessary. That was just out of hand. And that was adopted in 09.
And then we switched some.
We gave up some.
Christmas and the day after Christmas and the day after Thanksgiving were switched from other holidays.
Okay, so this particular SOP will be put on the agenda for the next meeting.
Yeah.
And the board members now, just do some homework on it. Yeah. You know, clarify with Lori on it, and come up with some of your own changes and some of your own ideas, and we'll pull our resources together. Mr. McCarter,
can I make just one other question or one other comment? And I am not Tim. I understand what you're saying, but what we've done here so many times is some board members were in corporations and some board members weren't in corporations, and some folks worked for banks and some folks didn't work for, and I agree with you, everybody does it differently, but I do have to say, wherever I have worked in the corporate world or for large companies, whenever there's holiday pay involved, everybody gets paid for holidays. So some of this came from that situation that we had. The other thing that happens to you is whenever we go to Laughlin, they always say, try not to get the corporate world and the fire department world mixed up together, and we always do. So those are things to be thought of. But most of us don't have fire department experience to get that. We have corporate experience. That's where the holiday thing, I think, came from.
Ms. Tucker.
Chairman, can I... I'm not sure what the cost involved would be or how beneficial it would be, but the lady who did our pay scale study, and she read through our old policies, not, I don't believe she read through the new ones. She is very knowledgeable. She was Brenda. I'm not sure what the fee would be. She knows the laws, or maybe we could just call around some fire departments and maybe clarify how they word theirs, or, you know, there's ways of finding out what the best way. I'm not saying go out and pay $80 an hour.
Well, if we can get the three SOPs from the three fire departments.
Right. I'm just saying there's ways to find out.
An average amount.
Right. Yes. Yes. There's ways to find out.
And there was one other thing. If you do decide to go ahead and give the holiday pay to everybody, Mr. Jones brought up an excellent point. Don't forget the part-timers. Because you can't say it's just for full-timers, because sometimes we employ our full-timers our part-timers on a full 24-hour schedule, and so you can't leave them out and not pay them. So if you guys are going to do it that way, don't forget that we have to somehow incorporate them into that payment.
Well, it says up here under scope that they're included.
Right.
But now
they are.
And guidelines on C, it doesn't.
Right, and we
so
have to.
So it has to read the same both ways, or?
Correct. You just have to word it.
Right. Everything right. Included, and we not want it all included.
Find out what is against the law. I don't want to tell someone that they're here working, no, we're not paying you for that just because you're part-time. Because if that's against the law, we can get in big trouble.
Where's Drexel Heights?
Southwest Tucson area.
One thing that I've noticed, and I need to bring this up just so everybody has this in their minds also, is Sedona has the largest budget of anybody in the state of Arizona.
Could they share?
Sierra Vista has a tremendously large budget and trade in their trucks like I trade in, never mind. And I'm guessing that Drexel Heights has a fairly large budget also. So
what we got to do is...
About $7.5 million just in property taxes.
There you go.
So in the process, let's compare some of the other smaller stations.
But I thought that you said that Drexel Heights just pays time and a half for the hour's work, right?
Well, it's not about the budget size, more or less. It's about
right.
their policy.
It's about balancing the
right.
budget. That's
right.
what it's about.
Well, yes. Not so much but, about, we've got $7 million, we're going to pay everyone.
No, but I'm saying... If they're, and the way it looks like they're interpreting this is everybody gets paid for it. Your point is well taken, Tim, but
I'm saying Drexel Heights, you just said it, Drexel Heights doesn't do this.
Right.
Drexel Heights pays for time work.
This was not, some of these were changed. The wording on some of them were changed.
If you guys would like, I can give you a lot of insight right now on this. I've been in the fire service for finishing up 2 decades now. Every department I've ever worked for pays time and a half for holiday pay for the hours worked on the holiday.
Correct.
That's it. Regardless of full-time or part-time status, it's time and a half for hours worked on that holiday.
For the full 24-hour shift?
For just no, the also, duration.
Yeah,
for
whatever.
Hours on the holiday part of your shift.
If it was 8 hours.
So whether it be the 8-hour portion that fell on the holiday or the 16-hour portion that fell on the holiday, you were paid time and a half for whatever portion of your shift fell on the holiday. Well, or the hours that you actually worked.
The whole thing jumps back and forth because the scope really does say the policy applies to full-time employees and part-time employees who work the holiday.
Yeah. Yes. And if I recall Fair Labor Standards correctly, as far as holiday pay goes, there is no differentiation between part-time and full-time employees.
That's what I was worried about the law, is that I believe you have
don't,
to
don't
pay.
Don't quote me on that.
But then you get down here to C, right. And it starts to muck
yeah.
that up.
But again, those are guidelines, too, right. down there. Those are guidelines that are, you know, just a direction.
Yeah, the scope and the policy
yeah.
are correct.
Yes.
But the guidelines
are off.
Thank you.
And that's what we need clarification on. Just they make it a little clear so we can show everybody this is what it says.
Right. And they can refer to it when they go to fill out their time card, and I don't have to be the bad guy.
So we should have clarification before the next holiday by the next meeting.
It'll be really long. Okay. I think that would be Labor Day.
Yes. So we'll put that on the agenda item. Just to point out, we have a new agenda item on number 10, discussion on new agenda items for the next regular meeting. We'll save that for the end, and we'll be adding stuff to it during the meeting. But after the meeting, if something comes up to mind, make sure you bring that to the board's attention. The next item on the treasurer's report is discuss the possibility of opening a separate payroll account under the county, still with Chase Bank, for FICA deposits. That is a financial?
Yes, subject. Our payroll taxes.
Yes.
The problem we're running into is, I don't know if you remember, a couple of months, well, it's been going on quite a few months, IRS changed the way we could make our payroll tax deposits. When I first started working here, you would fill out a deposit slip, you would make your deposit to Chase Bank, they would go ahead and pay your taxes for you. Well, then Chase Bank said, or most of the banks said, we're not doing this anymore. You need to electronically pay your payments yourself, they weren't going to funnel it through Chase Bank, or you needed to send the payment directly to the IRS in Ogden, Utah. About a month and a half after that, we got another notice saying, oh, no, no, no. You have to have an account set up with a bank, a financial institution, where you make the payment. Then I was instructed to go online to a website called EFTPS.gov. You guys are welcome to go on there and look at it. There's a, you know, normal screen. You put in your business name, account number, routing number, EIN number, our tax ID number. Put that all in, got it all set up, started making my deposits. Now, be in mind, remember that the county refuses to allow us to open another account that we are not guided under. Our M&O account and our reserve account, these reports that I gave you, the county has full charge of our accounts. It's funneled under through them. So, I was making the payments at the Chase account, the county gave me new deposit slips, everything was great. All of a sudden I get a notice saying, whoa, you owe some money. And it was like $9,000. So I call up Chase Bank and I'm like, oh wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm making these deposits, I have the receipts. What's going on? So a lady named Patty at Chase Bank here in Sierra Vista, she starts pulling up the accounts, the routing number and the accounts. I faxed her all my deposit slips that we had gotten from them to show receipt of payment. She said, okay, give me some amounts that you've deposited. And I rattle off, you know, can you guys see the checks? They're around $3,000 a pay period. And in fact, I give her the amounts of the deposits. She's like, I haven't seen any of those amounts. And I said, well, you know, I dispatched you the receipts. Check them out. Well, I come to find out, there's several departments that are putting their money into that account. Mescal's, so she was showing different payments coming out. However, ours were sent back. That's what happened. The money was there,
the IRS sent it back because that account is the county's EIN number and not ours. They won't take our payments. So I called the county, I called the bank, and I said, what can we do? You know, we have to be able to make these payments. You can't not pay your payroll taxes. So the county said, and her name is Carmen, at Cochise County Treasurer's Office. She said, well, why don't you talk to your board about opening up a payroll account still under the county, still configured in with our M&O. Money would go in. Okay, say our payroll was, say our payroll's 30,000. Say 35,000 covers payroll and FICA. We take 35,000 each payroll period, or each month, I'm sorry, that's each month, and we transfer that money to that account, then that money is then washed out through paychecks and that FICA payment. That way our EIN number matches and we don't have this issue. It's been a thorn in my side. Where, however, good thing is the county is going to wire everything to IRS. All penalties will be waived. They know that the county has caused this issue and they're working with the county to help us fix it. It's the county's problem. El Frida Fire has a separate account. Rincon has a separate account. When I went to AFTA, there's not many fire departments are just going and opening it because they're having these problems with the county wanting control. Okay. I don't want to cause problems with the county, but we have to fix it. So my recommendation is, you know, vote on looking into it to see what we can do. Maybe have Mr. Heine and I go to the county and meet with them or whoever has time and we get this solved.
Well, I think it's a simple solution, just exactly as it states, open a payroll, a separate payroll account under the county still with Chase Banks for FICA deposits.
Right.
It's just that simple. We just have to discuss that at another meeting,
yes,
at another agenda item, discuss that and vote on that. And so for the next meeting, we'll do that. Make sure.
But what happens till the next meeting?
Well, we're still okay. The county's still going to wire our money. They know. I'm like, guys, these are your rules. I'm trying to follow them, but we have to follow. It's the IRS.
So the county still won't continue to do this then for us then?
No, because it's so expensive to wire. It's $100 to wire each time, no matter how much it is. So until they can figure this all out and help us set up something, they have agreed to wire it until then.
Okay.
So I'm hoping within the next few weeks we can come to some kind of an agreement and a conclusion and fix this problem.
It'll be 4 weeks from now.
That anything is better than continuing to deal with what I've had.
Yeah. And the county will go along with this?
Yes. Yes. They just said that talk to your board and make sure that's approved and then we can go ahead and talk to the county in more depth and get it all set up. We would not carry a balance in that account ever. We would be watched. Payroll and FICA only. When everyone catches their paychecks, it's washed. So it would have to be a continuous deposit every 2 weeks for what payroll is.
Okay, any other questions from the board?
Let's just make sure it's on the agenda.
Yes, on the next month's agenda that'll be placed. The next item that we have on topic of the treasurer's report, I recommend that we put this topic in on the agenda for the next meeting.
Okay, what about tank cards? Is that has to do with treasurer's?
The last sentence. I see that. The first sentence of the paragraph. I would like to put that on the next month's agenda item. I would like to have Ms. Tucker ready with her current duties and responsibilities. And we'll talk to the chief and get his, and we'll put those two together and mishmash
It's just good to have.
Just have a good job the description. The last half of the sentence, Ms. Tucker is asking for the ability to sign time cards along with the board's approval in the chief's absence, using her best judgment to do so at that time. Let me ask now, before we go on, who signs the time cards when the chief is gone?
I have been.
You have been?
It's never been solidified that is a
approved and that I have the, you know, the ability to say, you know, I need you to fix this, you know, or, you know, if I need to go to the employee, I need to be able to say, you know, your time card's not correct, I need you to fix it. Because by law, I am not allowed to write on anyone's time card. I'm not allowed to alter it. So I need the approval to go to them and have that. Because, you know, with wildland season, Chief was gone
almost
the entire month of May. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether it be me and a captain, however it is, but I just would like, you know, verbal approval that that is okay for me to be doing that. We can't wait for Chief to get back.
Okay. I think this is something that needs to be discussed with the chief to make sure in his absence that's...
Oh, sure. I mean, that he's been allowing me to do so.
He has been allowing you to do that?
I have been doing it all this time, for a year and a half almost. When he's not here, I sign it because I would like, you know, I like to say that I've looked at them and, you know.
Well, I think that that kind of goes with the first sentence of this last item. As far as your duties, let's reflect that in part of your duties, and we'll discuss that and vote on that on the next meeting. That way, we'll have clarification. Any comments from the board concerning that? Okay.
So I would like clarification. Until now, if Chief is not here, we just leave him blank.
No, just continue on the way you have been.
Okay.
Just continue on. With the chief's approval, you know, he's given the approval.
Okay.
Continue on the way you have been.
Okay.
We'll just clarify it next on the next meeting.
Okay.
And
that concludes my report.
Okay. We have moving on to item number B. We have no chief's report today, correct?
Oh.
Yeah.
Or, we do have a chief's. I thought we have a. Oh. Oh. Okay. I thought that was an EMS report. Okay. Thank you.
Captain? We have. Fire and EMS report for today's meeting. As of June 7th, we've received 15 fire calls, 9 brush fire calls, 2 smoke showing calls, 1 MVA, 1 electrical fire, 1 structural fire, and 1 knee call.
What's an MVA again?
Motor vehicle accident.
And you go out for B calls?
We do. There are some guidelines, but we do go out for B calls.
Okay.
And then EMS calls, we've received 11 EMS calls this month. 7 were transfers, 1 was a flyout, and 3 were refusals.
Okay.
May I ask about the ambulances, Chairman Pina?
Sure, go ahead.
What about these 2 ambulances that we purchased? Are they in service yet?
They are still getting the equipment put on them. At least I know for absolutely sure the one. We're still getting any equipment. We have just finished doing the major ordering for it. I believe we have the majority of it to go in, but we still have some of the bigger items, the more expensive items that still have to come in. And right. And then I'm not sure about the other one. The other one that we
have. The other one is sitting down. Rich one has not had anything to do with it yet.
Right. I think he
wants to think about 3 weeks.
He was concentrating on getting this one, which we're going to use for a third, you know, the ambulance that we're going to switch out with the 302. And so he was concentrating on getting that one ready before we get the rehab ambulance up and running.
That's
Josh. Okay.
That way we're not trying to buy equipment for both of them, which is obviously very expensive. And to be honest, they wasn't something that we had budgeted for originally. We didn't know we were going to be getting another ambulance, which we were going to have to completely stop all on its own. So we're trying to offset the cost and spread it out a little bit instead of getting everything all at once. So it's not such a hard hit for the department.
I have 2 invoices at this time that need to be paid. One, they both equal together around $5,000.
We weren't expecting this to run quite as high as it is.
I'm not sure what we were
doing. Well, I don't think, originally when we did the budget, not the one we just approved, but the one before, we didn't know we were going to be bringing on a third ambulance and a rehab unit. I think originally we had just decided to try to bring on a third unit.
And we haven't been taking that money to stock bills out of the reserve account because nobody was comfortable taking more money out of that account. So we are having the stock list, which our M&O account, which, you know, new fiscal year, taxes aren't going to be coming in for another couple months, and we have to be smart about what we have and how much we're spending.
I could have sworn we discussed that when we decided on the two ambulances.
We'll go back and look on the minutes on that.
When we signed on the two new ambulances, weren't we going to get the one back from the state?
That was the impression I had.
Yes.
We were going to get the equipment off of the old ambulances, so we didn't have to buy much new equipment.
That's my understanding.
And I believe when we voted.
Yes, and are we still doing that?
Yeah. Not if they're ordering it.
As of what I was told last, no, we are not. We are going to keep the third ambulance, and then the other, the fourth ambulance, if you will, is going to now go to a rehab unit. The third ambulance is going to be kept. We're going to switch out the newer ambulance for the older ambulance, and it won't be a frontline unit anymore. But we're still going to keep it stocked in case we start running, because we've been running a lot more second out calls. And if one ambulance goes down, then we won't have another ambulance to back it up.
Mr. McCarter?
I know the chief did discuss with me just briefly when the wildland season was really starting to escalate, that the state did call him and tell him there was no rehab unit in this part of the country, and that it would be valuable if somebody would put a rehab unit in. So he was considering making one of the new ambulances a rehab unit.
Okay.
Now
the
whether
we went back to the state and said, okay, how do we get this put on contract? And the state said, I didn't say we were going to use that for sure.
Okay.
That was it was put out there, but never an agreement.
Right.
Okay. So now we have to have another item for on the agenda for next month to discuss. The use of all the ambulances that we have
and
currently.
And the purchasing of equipment.
And the purchasing of equipment for those ambulances, which is in conflict from what we voted on previous. So that'll be on the agenda for the next regular meeting. Any other comments? Moving to the EMS report.
Oh. The EMS was the 11th.
Oh, that's right. You did that already. I'm sorry. Thank you. Under new business, agenda item number 8, discuss a time and date for a workshop concerning the employee physicians and its cost. That was tabled from the last meeting. And so we said we would try to get together and see if we can get a workshop for the end of July.
Right. We have quotes from Concentra and a couple other places that, so we just need to sit down, go through, decide, you know, kind of a la carte if that's what we want to go with. You know, different tests we're going to have our employees go through, either annually or and be hired. So we just need to have that meeting.
Do we have a date for that particular meeting? Scheduled or planned?
Whatever works for the board.
Okay, and should the whole board be present? Would this be a special meeting or just a workshop?
Well, we're going to have to amend the budget. We talked about that because we only have $1,000 budgeted for that. So we had never put that into place, and so I would like the whole board to be there.
Okay, well, then it'll be a special workshop. Does the board have any particular days that they would like to work on that?
Not the 27th,
which is a Wednesday. Tuesdays have been working fine for me.
Tuesday would work well for me in the afternoon.
Me too.
Okay.
26th.
So we're looking at the 26th. We'll do a workshop. Does that fit in with your schedule too?
Yes, sir.
July 26th.
July 26th. What time?
5 o'clock.
Five o'clock.
I believe Chip
The chief's on vacation. I don't know.
The chief is going on vacation again next week?
I'm sorry, not vacation. He's going to be at the chief's conference. I'm sorry. He will be out for the 25th, 26th, or 7th, 28th, 29th, and I believe he returns on the 30th or 31st.
That's okay. I think we have a guideline in our red book that we can go off, but we don't need to have him here for every decision we make.
You know, compile information. Paul has done a lot of research on the subject for us.
Okay, well, let's go for the 26th at 5 o'clock. For the next, for the workshop meeting concerning the employee physicians and its cost.
Would you send me an agenda so I can post that?
Yes. Okay, under unfinished business, under item A, review and discuss the fire chief's contract. Before we go any too far with this, we can only discuss the fire chief's contract if we have it in detail what we want to discuss. We've had some issues with this contract. I've asked the board to review his contract. I've talked to Terry Bannon today. She called me back. My specific question with her was, can we discuss the fire chief's contract without the fire chief being present? And she says, yes, you can, as long as you have it agenda-sized. According, what are you going to discuss, and what are you planning on doing with those bits of knowledge? She said it's fine and dandy. All we need to do is come up with a clearer agenda before we discuss anything further. And Terry, Ms. Bannon said she would be glad to review the questions that we come up with. So what I'd like to do is have another meeting just for the purpose of discussing the fire chief's contract and reviewing it, and possibly amending it, reading through the contract. The board has stipulated that this contract can be amended from time to time as being necessary.
May I ask a question?
Yes, Bill.
So, can we discuss the particulars we want to discuss about the contract in the discussion on number 10?
Sorry, I'm sorry. Not laughing at you.
Yes, or Terry Bannon, Ms. Bannon stated that what would be better is if we're going to have a special meeting particular concerning the fire chief's contract, that each board member should review the contract and come to the meeting with those particular questions in mind.
But if it's not agenda size, we can't ask or talk about it.
That's true. So we'll discuss the agenda items to be discussed on item number 10. Yes, you are correct, Bill.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions concerning item number A under agenda item number 9, review and discuss the fire chief's contract? We will be more specific under agenda item number 10. Moving on, discuss and vote on the direction of the heliport. What I'd like to ask, and again, I did not talk to Ms. Bannon concerning this, and I should have. Well, I had her on the phone, but we had a lengthy conversation with the fire chief's contract. The direction of the heliport, this was tabled until this meeting. We were asked if any monies can be budgeted for use for the heliport. Not donations, but money that can be budgeted. We cannot donate outside our district money to any outside activity that is not authorized by the county, basically. So there is no donations allowed. The subject was brought up, can you budget an item? And that's where we were last week. Mr. Heine.
I have had some discussion with some of the board members of the heliport, or the committee members, and it's it was told to me that eventually this heliport is going to be given to us. So at that point in time, we will be responsible for the upkeep of it. So I think that's a pretty good commitment on its own.
Mr. McCarter.
I've said this before and I want to say it again. I'd like to leave the heliport where it started. I don't want it to become the fire department's project. We can discuss later on whether it becomes a part of the fire department once it's established, but the heliport was not started by the fire department. It was started by a pair of individuals in the community, and I'd like to leave it there.
I agree with
Mr. Heine also that, but in the same sense, once the heliport becomes our property, I'm not sure if it's going to be our property. Will they deed it over to us?
It has been deeded already.
To us?
The land has been deeded to us.
It's already been deeded to us, so it's definitely going to be our responsibility unless we re-deed it back to them.
That was the original setup that the Appels and the fire chief made, and that's what started this. And they all agreed on the same thing, that the committee would work for the money and it would go to the firehouse when it was finished.
Which I think is a great deal, but I think that they should continue and raise the money, get it done, and then give it to us, because there's going to be plenty of upkeep on it that we're going to have to budget later.
Do you know how close we are? We just need a little boost.
Hey, I want it done because I'm probably going to do it, but I'm not going to.
I am up to here with washing dishes.
I think where we stand.
There are a few things, okay, Candy, that we could do if, because I think what's going to happen is I think that you're probably going to get the heliport done, and there's going to be a few things that aren't done. Like one of them is probably going to be the fencing. So maybe at that point in time we get a group of everybody together and volunteer, and we go buy the chain link fence and we all put it up. That's fine, but let's get a bunch of people involved doing it.
We try at these dinners to get everybody involved in support. We know how far that's got. We're almost there, and I thought the fencing was included in the budget, in our budget.
Well, it is. The fencing is, but I'm sure that you're not gonna. I think that what's gonna happen is that you're probably going to be fall short of the budget, and you're going to get it done as much as you can, and then there'll be, at least that's how I was explained by a few other people that are
involved.
I'm not
sure if anyone knows, but I spoke with Sulphur Springs and they've donated as many Powerballs.
Right, I know that.
But we do need to go get.
But that's for the exterior fencing. That's not for the perimeter of the port itself.
I know nobody has.
Because the heliport,
nobody has contacted them.
Well, I've contacted them and they've given us. And we just need to go and show up when we need to.
Well, somebody was going
to
go get them. Who was it?
Chief. But he hasn't been able to go. I need a trailer. I need.
Where are they at?
Sulphur Springs and Wilcox in their yard. And I'll go. I know them and they're very nice.
They'll give them to us and load us up?
We have to load them and we have to cut them if they don't fit on our trailer.
Why wouldn't they deliver them? They have the equipment to deliver them. We have pickups.
They're giving it to us already.
Right. They're very expensive, so they're not going to do that.
Well, I've got a trailer.
We can have as many as we want. We just need to go get them and get it done. But I need help. I can't do that by myself.
Mr. Turner.
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Jones.
Terry is working on it.
With going back to the heliport, whether or not we should be involved, right now, I feel that the department should not get financially involved, since this is something the community at large has decided upon doing. Whether the board decides not to, or decides, should not prevent the firefighters' employees, Sunset Spirits employees, or the board members from donating their own time or money, whatever, resources to help the heliport. But as a board ourselves, I don't think we should set aside the funds.
Right. I
But to say, you know, the employees, if they want to set up a work day to go get the the power poles to make the fence, to cut them up. We should allow them to do that, but that should be done on their time. But they can do that representing the fire department if they want to do that.
Do we have an amount that is projected for the firehouse, or how much more? What does the club need? What does the committee need? How much money is it going to take?
We need about another 10,000. 20 would be good.
Pocket change.
I mean, we're just. So close.
You guys have worked so hard.
You've raised a lot of money.
You've worked your...
And, you know, we were hoping that the firehouse would donate anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000. The SCA was going to match funds to put with that if the firehouse went with that budget override.
If the employees, if the board members want to donate out of their own goodwill, but to use some of the department's money, I don't see that as something that we should step into as a board.
One of the problems is that it just leads to other projects where the fire department is asked to budget into their budget for that.
Right. Well, but this is a project that's going to end up with the fire
department.
So I can see why they're asking us, but I just
I can
don't
see that too.
But I just don't see how we can do it.
What if the reserve account? What if we even if we can use $18,000 to move our repeater and get better radio reception? Why couldn't we take save in $2,000 if the SCA is going to match it and help something that's going to belong to us? I don't see how that would make or break our reserve account.
Well, I think we have to look into the legal aspects of this, and I think this is something, again, that Ms. Terry Bannon would have to clarify. How, if we can do it, how we could do it. If we can't do it, why we can't do it. And clarify that also for the public. Mr. McCarter?
I'd like to propose a motion before we do that.
In your motion?
That we not get involved in monetarily helping the heliport.
We have a motion for the board not to get monetarily involved with the heliport.
I'll second that.
And we have a second from Mr. Rebel Jones.
Are you going to accept the heliport if it's completed?
That's for later discussion.
It's already a done deal. The deed is the fire department's already.
That's where I think the motion. Well, you can make that motion, but I can't vote on that motion because I feel that we are going to be financially involved in it at a certain time.
Mr. McCarter,
I'd like to redo my motion.
Go ahead.
I vote that we not get monetarily involved in completing the heliport.
Okay, we have a new motion before the board. Motion by Mr. McCarter that we not get monetarily involved until the completion of the heliport.
In completing the
heliport, and it has been seconded by Mr. Jones. Any discussion on that? My discussion with that particular point is that as much as I would like to see the heliport done, I don't think it is a good idea to get involved with the community's project on the heliport. I agree with Mr. Heine that we will sooner or later have to take it and plan for maintenance and budgeting for maintenance of the heliport at a time possibly this year, but basically for the budget for next year. And I think that is going to fill our plates with that. I mean, we may
decide as a board to expand that to apparently right now it's going to be a 25 by 25 foot pad, and far from the 100 foot square pad that we had first projected, but workable. So we may later, the board may decide later to adopt or add more money to that, but until then, my feelings go with that.
Or there might be some grant monies available at a certain time to improve the heliport at that time.
Okay, so any further discussion before we take a vote? All those in favor of that motion by Mr. McCarter and seconded by Mr. Rubble Jones to not get involved financially with the completion of the heliport with a show of hands. Show of hands show that four board members voted in favor. Any of those, any opposed?
I abstain.
We have one board member abstaining, Ms. Candy Roll. So that motion has been passed. The next item under unfinished business, discuss and vote on the proposed park district. We had discussed this at the last meeting. It was tabled for this meeting. We've gotten some information that as a board member, I think I instructed the board that I contacted the county. They said we can go ahead and vote as a board to vote for or vote against the proposed park district as far as giving our signature on the registered list of property owners. Legally, the electric company has already done this with their board in voting. Their attorney said that it was okay for them to do that. They saw no conflicts of interest with the board voting, even though some of the members were part of the community here. So I'm proposing that let's continue to discuss concerning the park district. I would like, Mr. Heine.
Well, I'd like to make some statements of things that have come to pass within the last 48 hours, and that is one thing that the owners of the golf course have contacted us. We've been in negotiations with them. I am on the board. And they are going to deed the golf course to the park district if it becomes a park district. The benefit to them, of course, they will get a write-off of value that they add in to it. We will have to pay the back taxes. We already have a group of individuals that are going to loan the park district the money to pay the back taxes. So what we really need is some signatures. The benefit to this fire board for this action happening is that our tax base will stay pretty much the same because there is a golf course and my house is on the golf course and I'm paying taxes on a house that's on a golf course. Now next year, if this tax district does not go in, my house will be taxed probably at 40% of what it is now because it's not on a golf course. And multiply that by all the homes on the golf course and the other homes in the area. You're actually stabilizing your homes by the golf course, and it's a great thing. Not just the golf course, it's a park district. The golf course may downsize in the future. It may become nine holes, and the back nine may become all kinds of things for this community. The secret is that to get the park district in, because once it's in, it's in our control, folks. And we have worked hard for 3 years to keep it going to this point, and we plan on continuing to work hard for a lot of years to make it way better. So with that, I make a motion that we sign this petition on behalf of the Parks District.
I'll second.
We have a motion for Mr. Heine to sign the proposed park district plan, and it has been seconded by Ms. Candy Rowe. Any further discussion? Mr. Jones?
With this issue, it's a very hard one to decide, as the department is linked to the community and the protection of the citizens and their property. Ultimately, the department will continue to provide the services whether or not the proposed district is formed. And myself, I'm not in that proposed district of the Parks District, so I don't feel comfortable voting for this particular proposed park district.
Can he even vote?
Yes, he's a board member.
Oh,
yes, he's a board member. He's a board member.
Okay.
Mr. Jones is a board member. Anything else?
No.
Any other comments from the board? I feel very positive myself for the proposed park district. I understand that we are, each of us is a partial representation of the district as a board member. And each one, I have been spoken by many people for the proposal for or against, and I choose to represent the portion of my membership on the board to vote for the park district.
We just won't take a vote on you.
Yes. So if no other comment, that was my comment. We will now take a vote. By a show of hands, all those voting for the proposed park district with a show of hands. A show of hands show three board members voting in favor. Those that are voting against with a show of hands. A show of hands shows one against. And
I'm just staying out of it.
Okay, we have one board member abstaining from that vote. That motion has been passed. And that petition will be signed. I am the chairperson of the board, and I will sign for the board according to the county's instructions. Thank you. Number 10, discussion on new agenda items for the next regular meeting. We've already listed a couple of them. Let me go back and remember what they were. Well, they'll be on the tape, so we don't have to do as much memory work.
Can you go back over again about the fire chief? I'm a little confused there. If we want to discuss the contract.
Well, this is the items we're going to be placing on the agenda. We're going to be discussing his contract, but we're going to be discussing his contract in a lot more detail than previously was mentioned. So you all have the contract in front of you. What I'd like to put on the agenda, item for next year's for the next meeting, is Mr. McCarter?
I think what Ms. Roll is asking is for an explanation, and the explanation is that you can't just put it down as the chief's contract. You have to put it down as specific, such as under the heading whatever, fire chief employment contract, section B. We would like to discuss that. It has to be specific. It has to be agendized. The salary, the vacation days.
Can we do that now?
Yeah.
Yes. This is what we're going to agenda. Size the items for discussion for the next meeting.
Okay.
What I would like to clarify on the next agenda item is the chief's salary. Is he a salaried employee, or is he hourly? Mr. McCarter?
Isn't this under the same heading you're talking about, whether he's operational or non-operational?
Yes.
Would that be would clarification of that do it? I mean, then that sections us into the SOPs?
Not necessarily. I feel like I'm trying to open a can of worms here, and that's not the point. I would just like to know the difference between salary and hourly, of course. You know, salary doesn't necessarily imply that you work a set schedule. You keep track of your time. Is that schedule set as an admin, like an admin division, or is that schedule set as an operational person? Is it an 8 to 4? Is it an 8-hour day? Is it a 10-hour day? Is it a 5-day week? Is it a 12-hour day? Is there an on-call?
I agree with Ms. Tucker. I think that's an SOP issue, and we can discuss that definition there. But at the same time, clarifying that definition will also clarify the chief's duties. Is he salary? Is he on salary, or is he on an hourly program?
For compensation is one of the compensation number 4 is what will be discussed.
Compensation, yes. We already have an amendment to his contract concerning compensation, but compensation should be discussed in more detail for the chief. That'll be another agenda item.
Well, that compensation will cover Lori's question.
Yes, it should.
Yes, sir.
So we'll have that. I would like to discuss the term of his contract because I would like to, under item number 2, discuss and review his the term of the contract. I'd also like to discuss item number 3, termination. We've already discussed item number 4, compensation. Item number 6, district vehicle. I'd like to discuss that because that's important. Item number 9, performance evaluations and reviews. Item number 14, the entire contract. We will agenda size and discuss that portion.
Duties. I thought there was the duties are pretty.
Let's go over to. I agree with Mr. Heine. The
much,
duties.
Much. But I think under duties, the question of 8 hours, 10 hours, how many days a week, how much time should he be gone from the station?
Okay, because
not saying that the station is not in good hands. While he's gone, I'm just saying, but we need to have that so he knows and we know. And everybody else in town knows, because for just a thing, I'll say, a lot of people will see me and say, where's the chief been? He's been gone for 2 weeks. I've been trying to see him. You know, and you go, well, he's out on fires. Well, he shouldn't be gone that long. Well, you know, that's one of the taxpayers paying part of his salary asking that question. So that's where some of this is coming up. We're, I think, as on a whole, as a board, we're very happy with the chief. But we have to go through the contract and make it so everybody's on the same page. Just like you said about the other stuff.
Vagaries again.
Waters, who does our scheduling, helps him because if there needs to be somebody here, if there's off times, if it's a 10-hour day and somebody has to run calls at night, it helps.
Right.
With our budget, just decide how many people are here and who's working.
Let's also discuss his the insurance portion. That's a little hazy. I know the chief has had some questions concerning insurance. And also under item number 12, district policy.
So can you, would you email all of us
these agenda items, the things that are going to be on the agenda, so that we can study them before the meeting.
Yes.
And come up with our specific questions underneath those items.
Yes.
Okay.
So those are the agenda items that we've talked with the board. Now, if I think of anything else, I will add that to the agenda items for the board's review and send those out. Any other questions? I will now move on to item number 11, call to the public. Any public wishing to address the board? We have no public wishing to address the board. I will now adjourn this meeting at 7:43. Thank you.
6:43.
6:43. Thank you.
I'm like, I know we've been here a while, but now.